Grace, peace, and mercy are yours from our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. When he dedicated the Truman Center for the Advancement of Peace, Harry S. Truman said, "Memories are short, and appetites for power and glory are insatiable. Old tyrants depart, new ones take their places. Old differences are composed, new differences arise. Old allies become the foe, the recent enemy becomes the friend." It's all very baffling and trying, but we cannot lose hope. We cannot despair. As that hymn just put it, the we just sang put it, "Change and decay in all around I see." One thing we can count on to never change is that things and people constantly change. Truman's comments not long after World War II highlight the fact that peace in this world will always be an elusive and some would say impossible goal. Because those upon whom peace relies, namely people, are going to change their minds and sacrifice anything if the payoff is big enough. That's actually the situation we find in our gospel lesson this morning. A father asked something very simple of his son. "Son, go and work in the vineyard today." It was like any chore, right? Please clean your room, take out the garbage, walk the dog, work in the vineyard. Fathers ask their children to do things every day, all the time. But when this father asked this son to go and work in the vineyard, his son said, "I will not." He didn't want to do any chores. Later, though, for whatever reason, he changed his mind. Maybe he felt bad about the way he acted. Maybe he realized his father really wasn't asking too much. Maybe his motives for changing his mind weren't so noble in any way whatsoever. Maybe he thought that if he wanted to have the family donkey for a date tonight, he'd better shape up. I don't know. All Jesus said is he changed his mind and did the chores his father asked him to do. Then Jesus said that this father had another son to whom he said the same thing. The way Jesus tells the story, the father just let the first son be rude and insubordinate. We all know what we'd do if our child spoke that way, right? But that's not the point of the story. That's not the lesson. And this parable isn't a lesson on how to deal with your children when they're rude. Jesus was telling a simple story to make a simple point. And we'll actually get to the consequences later. So the father asks his son, "Go to work in the vineyard." And the son says, "Yeah, I'll go. Sure, Dad. I'll go right now." You know, and I can almost see the father patting his son on the head and walking away, smiling, thinking, what a pleasure it is to have such a obedient and pleasant son. Unfortunately, this son also changed his mind. Maybe he thought about working in the vineyard all day, the dirt and the hot sun, and he said, "Ah, forget it. I don't want to do that. Honestly, we don't know, right? Jesus doesn't say. He doesn't expand on that point. What we do know is this, though. It didn't just slip his mind. The text is clear that the son made a deliberate choice not to do what his father asked. So two sons. One said no, but then changed his mind. The other said yes, but then changed his mind. This story is one that we can identify with. And it's simple. We can understand it, at least the facts of it. But I think we can understand it for another reason. Not yet. Carla? What? Not that slide yet, thanks. Spoiler alert. Oh, no. But we can understand this story. We can understand it because it's us. We make decisions every day. And every day we change our minds, sometimes for the better, sometimes for the worse. A sixth grader is very nervous about an upcoming science test. So the morning of the test, a few ink-sketched notes just happen to appear on her palm, quite magically. But then she begins to think, what would her mom say? How disappointed would her father be? what would happen if she gets caught. And she starts to have a change of heart. Her plan was to cheat, to take the easy way out, but she changed her mind. We're faced with decisions like that every day. We make countless decisions about life. Tomorrow, I'm going to get up and exercise. Today, I'm going to get that project that's been hanging over my head done. We make decisions like that every day. And sometimes we say yes and actually follow through. And sometimes, maybe more often than not, we say no and choose not to do what we said we were going to do. Sometimes we change our minds about something, it's no big deal, but other times there are much larger consequences. So we can identify with both of these two sons. We're asked to do something and we say no, but later think about it and change our mind. What the heck, it's not that hard, I'll do it. And sometimes, maybe more often, when someone asks us to do something, we say, sure, I'll do that. Then, for some reason or another, we just change our minds. Don't follow through. And that happens not just in our lives with the people around us. It happens also in our relationship with God. God has asked us to go and live Christian lives. He asks us to be holy in an unholy world. He asks us to be the reflection of His Son to those we meet. He's actually asked us to be the mirror image of His Son wherever we are, whether we're at home or at work or at play. And we say, yes, Father, I'll do as You ask. Yes, I want you to be reflected in what I do. But then 5 minutes after walking out of church, husbands and wives continue the argument they were having on the way to church. And the children are still battling with their siblings, and the other driver on the way home gets a piece of your mind, or worse. And our good intentions become just that. Intentions, but not actions. You know, I don't know what's going through your minds right now. But I would say, just be honest. God asks hard things of us. He does. He asks us to be perfect in an imperfect world. He asks us to love those around us, not just the nice people, but all people. He asks us, you and me, to be His ambassadors in this world. And He asks us not just to do that once in a while. He asks us to be that all the time. That's asking a lot. So what do we do? In Jesus' story, one son said he wouldn't do what his father asked him to do, but did it anyway. And the other son said he would do what his father wanted him to do, and he didn't. And even the chief priests and the elders had to admit the one who was rude was the one who ultimately did the right thing. He did the will of his father. So I am guessing here that Jesus is telling us to follow through on those intentions. Make them not just intentions, make them actions. Get your act together. Get to church more. Maybe that'll strengthen you. Pray more fervently. Try harder. Do the right thing. Quit feeling sorry for yourself, folks, and thinking that what God asks is too hard. Just do it. It's all about choices. As we've heard in the readings these past couple of weeks, one day we're going to stand before Him and answer for those choices that we've made. For what we've done, for what we haven't done. And I hope that shocked you. I hope you thought, wait a minute, Pastor, that's not right. And if that's what you really believe, we're going to have a deeper conversation. I hope you're thinking that, because what I just said is far beyond what this story really is all about. When Jesus told this story, He wasn't simply telling the people to get out there and do the right things and then God would love them. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, the other religious leaders were saying, sure, God, we'll go do what You want us to do. And then they looked for every excuse and loophole that they could to not really do it. They came up with reasonable arguments for how they could get out of what God really expected, repentance, by focusing on those things that were easy, like the daily rituals and such. And here's the really maddening part about that. They demanded others to follow to the letter what they were doing. They'd created a strenuous system that they believed captured what God wanted from us. But they were only fooling themselves. Demanding that others do the things that even they couldn't do. They thought they were doing what God wanted them to do while their lives remained filled with pride and scorn and hatred of others. In this story, Jesus was making the point that though they refused to acknowledge it, they were in the same boat as the tax collectors and sinners. The only difference was that the tax collectors and sinners knew that the only chance they had was God's mercy and grace. And that's what they saw in Jesus. God's grace and mercy and forgiveness and love. You see, this story is really all about Jesus. He was the one the Father sent, the only one who could say, "Yes, Father, I'll do what you want me to do," and then did it. And that wasn't easy, not by any stretch of the imagination. Jesus told this little story the very week he would be crucified. He knew what was coming. For over 30 years, he'd done the will of his Father, caring for and loving others above his own needs, showing God's power by healing people and casting out demons, preaching and teaching the message of the kingdom of God. And he knew that in a few short days, he would be facing the whip, a crown of thorns, and a cross. This wasn't easy for Jesus. We know that because in Gethsemane, what did he pray? He prayed fervently to his Father, asking if there was any other way to accomplish his will, please reveal it. But if the cross was the only way to accomplish our salvation, then so be it. He humbled himself, became nothing for us. He never changed his mind. He did what the Father asked him to do because he knows us all too well. See, we're always going to change our minds. It's the way it's always been. We're like that second son who said yes, but then changed his mind and didn't follow through. At times we find ourselves with answers written on our palms, or find ourselves looking longingly at men or women who aren't our spouse, or find ourselves putting the wrong numbers on tax forms. What the heck, it's only a few dollars, it's only the government. See, we too are filled with pride, thinking that we aren't so bad, and all the time looking at others with scorn. We know what's right in God's eyes, and sometimes we'll deliberately do the exact opposite. It'll happen. And it'll happen again. And it'll happen again. You see, we're always going to be changing our minds. But thank God that we have a God who never changes his. We've been baptized into Christ, and God promises to never cast us away. Every day when we're faced with the struggle of what to do, we'll have Jesus there saying, "Remember me. Remember what I did for you on the cross. You don't have to worry about making wrong choices anymore, for I am your strength. I am your forgiveness." And when we face the day, when we face our life, when we face the choices to do God's will with that in mind, that we are forgiven sinners and that God loves us and that nothing will change us, change that, we find that we are able, and more and little by little, although never perfectly, to not cave in to our sinful nature all the time. Even though we change our minds, Jesus will hold on to us and always say yes to the Father for us. He will never change his mind. He'll never change his mind about loving us. He'll never change his mind about forgiving us. And he'll never change his mind about raising us from the dead so that we might be with him forever. When you're faced with the fact that you have a changing mind, you can be comforted by the fact that God has a changeless mind. And that's what we were singing about. Change and decay, and all around I see, O thou who changest not, abide with me. Amen.